And the southern two tribes was trying to follow after the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And because the northern portion had gone so liberal, that God allowed evil king after evil king, and one of the worst was this guy, Ahab. As the Lord God of Israel lives, says Elijah, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except by my word. And so the king, Ahab, says, oh, it's Elijah. Yeah, I've been hearing about you and your miracles. What's going on, buddy? Elijah says, King Ahab, you're blowing it, man. And just like Deuteronomy chapter 28 promised, God says because he loves his people, if they are straying off in a bad direction, God will turn off the heavens and stop the rain. If I let my people continue on in this direction, more destruction would come. Verse 3, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. That's actually a little southeast of Jerusalem. And the brook Cherith, it's a seasonal brook. Some parts of the year, it's dry. And for a few months of the year, it's running with spring moisture and runoff. Verse 4. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Here's your first home delivery food right here. Verse 5. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, and he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Okay, so not bad. No more rain. Drought is hitting the region. Famine is causing the people to start wondering what's going on. Thank you, Lord, that you are providing for me. I stepped up in your ministry, did what you asked, went where you wanted, and now everything's pretty cool. Way to go. I got supernatural water, and I got supernatural food. It's easy to follow Jesus' direction when things are going sweet. Watch verse 7. And then it happened after a while that, say it with me, the brook dried up. Whoa, whoa, whoa! I'm cool with you saying going here and then you're going to provide. What is up with the brook drying out? Do any of you know sort of what Elijah is feeling about now? You said go here, launch out in that. Trust me for this thing over here. And I did, Lord. And now the brook is drying up. Now, if you're a real feeling human being, the first thought that enters your head is, God, you're not watching. Or better yet, I know what your game is. You brought me out here to kill me with thirst. Because you're what? Pernicious. And you just like to yank my chain. That's the first thought that goes through a real honest brain, a fallen nature brain. I came out here following you and this happens, Lord. Are you serious? We tend to impugn the character of the God who brought us here. Why do you suppose God is doing this? If you know the story, he needs Elijah to move from southeast Israel and go way up to the north in modern-day Lebanon. And he's going to go to a place he's going to say in verse 9 called Sidon. And then Sidon, you have to write 1 Kings 16, verse 31. You know whose hometown that is? Jezebel's hometown. Who did King Ahab marry? He married Jezebel. She is not a Jewish person. What did the Bible say about that? Don't do it. But he's King Ahab. I'm the king. I don't need God's word. So he goes and marries Miss Baal priestess, queen of all Baal stuff. He marries her. Verse number 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, hey, the brook is dry, huh, Elijah? Yes, Lord, it is. I quit. He could have. God gives us the free will to do so. But because Elijah knows God's character, why does God sometimes allow the creek to dry up? Because he wants to move us to the next ministry. John, Gospel of John, chapter 7, verse 37. Jesus steps out of the crowd one day and says, if any man thirsts, let him go to Gatorade. If any man thirsts, let him come where? Sometimes God allows your brook to dry up because he has noticed that you're going to that thing right there as a sense of filling you. Was it a ministry? Was it a relationship? Was it you chasing after a lifelong dream, building a company? God sometimes lets the brook dry up a bit to show you, you've been trying to drink from another well. And he dries the brook up until the only place to really drink is here. Corrie ten Boom says it so well. Remember, she was a survivor of the Holocaust. She said, sometimes you don't really get it that God is all you need until it's God that's all you have. Amen indeed. Verse 8. Then a word of the Lord came to him saying, arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, 1 Kings 16, verse 31. That's where Jezebel is from. She was the homecoming queen there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Now, why a widow? When a culture is really getting squeezed, in this case by drought and no crops, and now we're a couple years into the deal, really the most sensitive demographic to this famine would be the widows. Verse 10. So he rose and went to Zarephath, and when he had come to the gate of the city, indeed, a widow, and she's going to be a Gentile widow, of course, was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. What's going on around here, by the way? There's a great what? There's a great drought. So he's asking the poorest of the culture. I wonder if she looked at him and said, you know there's a drought, right? Verse 11. And as she was going to get it, he called her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. I wonder if she's going, seriously, dude, I don't even know you. She's an agency of God. Does she know that she's an agency of God? I don't think so. Verse 12. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, oh, she recognizes he's a man of God. But she likely doesn't have a relationship with the living God. Elijah does. So she's noticing you must be one of them prophets. So, okay, Mr. Prophet Man, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread. In fact, I only have a handful of flour in a bin and a little bit of oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering these couple of sticks that I may go in, prepare it for myself and my son. So she's a single mom. That we may eat it and what, you guys? Die. Because it's all over. It is all over for us. And you, Mr. Man of God, Mr. Word of the Most High God, you're asking me to give you something little? I've got little to begin with. And I thought to myself, isn't that presumptuous of the prophet? What did he feel? He sees a widow. He knows that the widows are the poorest of this little section. And he knows if anybody's feeling the pinch of this economic downturn, it's her. But he speaks because he knows what God's word has said. I will provide you this widow. She didn't even know she was God's provision. How will she Here's how she does it. And Elijah, verse 13, said to her, "Do not fear." In the economic downturn, number one, this is important. Do not freak out. Go and do as you have said. Go make this little bit of cake. But make me a small cake from it. What? Wait a minute. Come on, Elijah. Who I'm pretty sure would give up his seat for a woman on the subway. Why is he demanding of her a powerful, monumental, potentially life-ending gift to him first? Because it's really not about him. Who does Elijah represent? The Lord. And, if you will, the Word of God. There's a powerful principle going, give to the Lord first. Doesn't say 10%. I want you to notice that. It's an idea of whatever you have. What the Word of God says, go first. Because it's never an issue of money. It's an issue of the heart. And bring it to me, and afterward, make some for yourself and your son. Do you think she blinked at him a couple times? Okay. How in the world was she ever even to know that she was predestinated? She was ordained. She was chosen from before the foundation of the world to be used by the Most High God. Her first little baby step into this realization, by giving of what she had. Verse 14. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. I wonder if she understood what he was saying. You're going to go into this jar and scoop out some bread, and you'll swear that it was the last of the bread until you go there tomorrow and you open up and guess what's in the bottom? More bread. And you scoop that out and you go there the next day, what's in the jar then? So she went away and did according to the word of the Lord. And there you go. She's poised to witness the supernatural. And she and he and her household ate for how many days, you guys? Many days. Supernatural sustenance and a significant economic downturn. Verse 16. And the bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord which he had spoke by Elijah. And that's a wonderful story, right? Well, let's keep reading. Verse 17. Now it happened that after these things, after what things? Supernatural provision. Do you think people are asking her, as the rest of the culture is getting skinnier and skinnier and skinnier, how come she and her son are not losing weight? Well, the supernatural has visited my house. Oh yeah? How did it come to your house and not my house? That's because I listened to the word of God and I responded. The things of the son of the woman who owned the house, he became sick. And as his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. The boy died. Hey, 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 Lord, we were not expecting this. Again I stepped out. And look what happened, Lord. Something died. Once we get on the train that says God's will, is it always smooth from there, you guys? Because what is he doing? He is building a testimony. Where is he building a testimony? In Sidon. Is that important? That's where Jezebel is from. In the very next chapter, in chapter 18, Elijah is going to have a showdown with the 750 prophets of Baal in front of the whole nation. We love chapter 18. Go ahead, you 750 prophets of Baal. Set up your sacrifice, don't light it, and dance around all day. And if your God is God, he'll call down fire from heaven. So they chanted hour after hour. They got into this huge mosh pit thing where they're cutting themselves and blood is gushing. And effectively, Elijah says, enough. Now watch this. I'll paraphrase. Lord, show them who is God. Whoosh, the fire comes from heaven. How many of you love that story? But before the powerful man of God stands on the platform of national visibility, there came a brook Cherith that dries up. There comes going into Jezebel's own backyard. And there sometimes involves the death of a precious thing. I wrote my Bible at the end of verse 18, a test. Now, why is that important? Watch. Verse 19, and he said to the woman, give me your son. I wonder if she went, I don't know. But she did again. So he took him out of her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on his bed. And he cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge by killing her son? Ooh, Elijah. Is the man of faith and power God's man for the hour? Is he sort of being a little human right here? Notice God doesn't say, well, that's it for you, pal. You get out of this story. Let me get somebody in here who's not going to fold. It's okay to be completely honest and broken before the Lord. God can take it. Verse 21. He stretched himself out on the child three times, cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him. You and I, we sort of know the end of the story. So we're all, yeah, because he's going to raise him from the dead. When it does happen, in verse 22, when the child does rise, right in your margin, that's the first supernatural raising of somebody from the dead. There were no precedents in front of this one. There were no models for him to draw on. Verse 22, and the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. This is the first mention of someone raised from the dead. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. What do you think mom is saying now? Oh, and Elijah said, see, your son lives. You saw the test. But you gotta have a test to have a testimony. Now, why is that important? It is important for her, but it's important for Elijah because in a little while, he's gonna stand in front of all the 700 plus prophets of Baal. It's happening in Jezebel's hometown. God is going to judge Jezebel very succinctly in the near future. But God never flies out of the blue, never just off the cuff. He is always leaving a witness before his great move. He did this great miracle of reviving a dead son in a Gentile area that soon God would judge. God never leaves his people without a witness. Then the woman said to Elijah, now by this, you might want to circle that and write testimony. And make sure that you go back to verse number 18 and write a test. And you can't have a testimony until you've had a test. There's people flying through my heart right now. Lord, in Jesus' precious name, would you move this academic exercise of understanding your word? And Lord, would you move among these your precious sons and daughters in Jesus' name? And blow away fear in Jesus' name. And the times that people are stuck back at the dry brook of Cherith because they said, I can't do this anymore, Lord. Would you revive them there again? And let them realize, loved one, it wasn't to kill you. It was to move you into ministry. You were looking to certain other things to fill you. You were thirsty for other things, when the truth of the matter is, all the time, you were really thirsty for me. And there are others, Lord, who stopped at the dead child. The dead precious, precious thing. Lord, you won't leave them there either if they call out and cry out to you. And realize, I had to bring that thing to a death because you were holding on too tight, loved one. Get back up and go back in. I am moving you into ministry. If that's you, with everybody's head down and everybody's eyes closed, maybe you stopped when the river ran dry. Raise your hand and say, Lord, it was me. Maybe you stopped when the precious thing appeared dead. Raise your hand and say, Lord, I want to get back up. I want to go back in. Here am I, Lord. Use me. Oh, in Jesus' name, it's powerful. Verse 24, and we're almost done. Then the woman said to Elijah, I get it. By this I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is truth. Oh, amen, amen, and amen, and amen, and amen. Lord, I know that this morning there's some dry bones, Lord. I know that this morning some barely made it today. Like a baseball player, I slid into church and the Holy Spirit said, safe. Oh God, oh Lord Jesus, forgive me when I looked at the dry creek bed and said, look what you did to me. Thank you for the story of Elijah this morning. Be the lifter of my head and let me realize, what are you doing? If I don't fold, and I realized that was a wrestling match, wasn't it, Lord? My flesh was wrestling with you. And I'm going to give up. And I may even, like Jacob, have a bit of a limp. But every time I limp is a reminder of when you supernaturally carried me, Lord. A reminder of the day that the flesh died. If I'll see it in that light, Lord, then I will hear the next part of your message. All right now, Steve. Well done at the dry brook. Now, move to the next step. And don't freak out when another challenge I allow to touch your life. Because I'm working in you a testimony, and I'm working all around you for others to see God in you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.